Welcome to Time to Talk Fertility, Beyond the Lab Coat, a podcast from Fertility Centers of Illinois. I'm your host, Caitlin White. Join us as we go behind the scenes with Dr. Eli Hobeika, a reproductive endocrinologist, to discover what inspires his work, how he connects with his patients, and what drives his passion for helping families grow. Real stories, real purpose, real care.
I'm Eli Hobeika, a double board certified obstetrician, gynecologist, and reproductive endocrinology and infertility specialist at Fertility Centers of Illinois.
Well, doctor, so excited to get to know a bit more about you and your practice today. To start us off, can you tell us what inspired you to pursue medicine and specifically reproductive endocrinology?
I got inspired to pursue medicine a lot by my dad. He is a pediatrician, and I was attracted to this physician-patient or physician-family relationship in his case. The impact that one can have not only on the patient, but on the whole entire family when you treat a sick individual was remarkable. That got me into medicine, but what really got me into reproductive endocrinology is that patients most of the time do not come to us for what we do, but for why we do it. They come to us for a child, and we represent hope to them. I'm not sure if in medicine there's another specialty that deeply impacts one's life as ours.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, what do you find most rewarding about your work?
What I find most rewarding about my work, besides the impact that we have on patients, is that we are working in an evolving field. We are doing cutting-edge medicine. And the way we practice today is not how our mentors practiced, and for sure we will be practicing differently in a decade from now. This keeps you at the forefront of science and technology, and your job is never dry or boring.
And is there a particular moment or patient that really reaffirmed why you chose this field?
It is important here to mention that I got my medical degree at a Catholic institution, so I knew of IVF. I've heard of it. I was curious to know what it consists of. I studied it briefly for my boards, but never experienced it clinically before residency. I always thought I'd become a gynecologic oncologist or a specialist who treats cancer in women. In my second year of OBGYN training in New York, I rotated in REI for 3 months, experienced it clinically, saw the struggles, practiced that type of medicine, and within the first few weeks, I knew that this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
And doctor, how do you hope to make a difference in your patients' lives?
Few patients come to you planning to have a baby in a year or two. Most wanted to have a baby yesterday, and their treatment is literally going to be a journey. Testing takes time, treatment takes time, and this journey may become an emotional roller coaster. I hope to remove as many layers of stress that I can. I try to personalize their treatment and to educate and empower them to make the decision that is right for them. Through this approach, I try to make a difference.
So what really drives your passion for helping individuals and their families on their journey to parenthood?
The personal nature of the journey to parenthood, the variability in the patients and couples that we see, makes the practice of reproductive medicine truly an art. This is what drives my passion. I want to find not only what works in a clinical situation, but what the couple is accepting to try and what would be the best option for them.
So how would you describe your approach to patient care?
Hippocrates said that medicine is an art, and artists do not keep doing the same thing repeatedly. So I like to approach patient care this way. Yes, there are tests that you need to do most of the time for everyone, but the way how you lay it down, the way how you explain, varies significantly from a patient to another.
And what's most important to you when guiding a patient through their treatment?
When guiding a patient through treatment, it is important for me to make sure that the patient or couple and I are on the same page. I want to make sure that they are okay to proceed with a particular treatment. Unfortunately, the chance of a negative pregnancy test, with every treatment cycle is not non-significant. And in that setting, I do not want the patient to regret proceeding with a particular treatment or another.
So how do you help your patients feel supported and also empowered throughout their journeys?
I try to empower patients mostly with education. I make sure that they understand what the treatment is, how it may get them to conceive, and what are the chances of success and failure of that particular treatment. Moreover, I make sure that they are supported throughout the whole process by being available for them. Most of my patients know that myself and my team of nurses are available for them at any time, not only when they are seen in the office for a consultation or a monitoring visit.
Great. Well, doctor, how do you balance the intersection of science, technology, and also empathy in this work?
That's a very important question, and nowadays, view the abundance of information that is available on the internet and through social media. It is key to show patients what is the science, or to put it properly, what is evidence-based medicine, also known as the science proven to be true. That is mostly done at the time of the consultations and discussions that I have with them throughout their journey. Because not everyone may have a background in life sciences, it may be difficult to relay certain concepts, and that's why I rely heavily on illustrations, pictures, graphs that I share with them, whether in the office or virtually at the time of consultations. As we mentioned earlier, this is a field in medicine that is highly personal and touches each deeply. And that's why, despite the cutting-edge scientific nature of what we do, empathy should be at the core of our mission. I try to demonstrate that by the multiple touch points that I have with the patient. All my patients know by now that if they're scheduled to have a pregnancy test, I'm the one calling them with the results. If they have an abnormality on an ultrasound, they will hear from me before the end of the day. If there's a bad outcome, I'm the one most of the time to disclose that. This is a journey where they are not going through alone, and I'm here for them in the good and in the bad times.
And doctor, what are your special areas of clinical interest and what draws you to them?
I truly enjoy every aspect of our subspecialty, whether helping a couple with infertility, treating another for recurrent loss, or guiding a patient with her fertility preservation options. And by that, I mean egg freezing and embryo freezing. I like to do it all, and I would not limit myself to a particular area of reproductive medicine. However, what draws me more to any case is its complexity. I love difficult cases, and I want to be challenged, and I don't mind being challenged by the clinical case or by the patient herself. With that being said, maybe the most difficult cases clinically are those where patients have multiple pregnancy losses, or those where patients have a low ovarian reserve, or a second opinion where patients have undergone treatments and had negative outcomes at another clinic. I like particularly these cases because not only you need to treat the medical condition, but at the same time, you need to care about the patient from a psychological perspective, keeping her optimistic and giving her hope to continue the journey so that you can get with her to the finish line and have a baby.
And doctor, tell us a bit about your background. Where did you complete your medical education, your residency, and fellowship training?
I completed my medical school at St. Joseph University in Beirut, Lebanon. Then I came to New York where I did residency at Staten Island University Hospital. And then I completed my fellowship at the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Medicine.
Great. And was there something you learned along the way that continues to shape your approach even today?
You learn something new every day. That's why I like complex cases, because you learn from these the most. But if I want to point out one main thing that shaped me over my career, is that I learned how to be a good listener. This helped me connect better with my patients and deliver my message not only in a better way, but at the right time as well.
And what excites you most about the future of reproductive medicine?
I am very excited to what the future holds for us in reproductive medicine. There has been a lot of scientific advances that makes us hopeful that someday we will be able to identify multigenic diseases in embryos and not only monogenic diseases, which is what we do now. We hope we'll be able to test embryos genetically without having to biopsy them. We aspire to be able to treat certain cases of premature ovarian insufficiency or early menopause or diminished reverse that we are unable to treat currently. We are all waiting to see what would be the next breakthrough in our field.
Could you share with us an accomplishment in your practice or career that you are most proud of?
I think my main accomplishment on a personal level is that I learned how to connect with patients. We are taught in medical school how to practice good medicine, but the missing element that is not taught is how to listen and treat the individual and not just the disease. Thanks to my patients' support and reviews, I was able to grow my practice and help a lot of other patients, and this is something that I am very proud of. There is nothing better than starting a consultation where a patient tells me, "You helped my friend have her baby, and I want you to do the same to me."
And doctor, do you speak any additional languages?
I do. I speak French and Arabic.
Oh, wow. Could you share like a simple greeting or a phrase in either of those languages?
Okay. We'll start with French. Je m'appelle Elie Hobeka. Je suis spécialiste en infertilité du couple, féminine et masculine, et pourrai vous accompagner tout au long de la prise en charge. J'ai le plaisir de vous accueillir dans mon cabinet à Chicago. You want to do Arabic?
Yes, please.
مرحبا. اسمي إلي حبيقة. أنا طبيب جراحة نسائية وتوليد وأخصائي عقم. وبيشرفني استقبلكم بعيادتنا بشيكاغو. So I said that I introduced myself, I said my name, and that I'm a fertility specialist, and I am honored to see them in my office in Chicago.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. We appreciate that. So when it comes to your patients, doctor, what do they often say that they appreciate most about working with you?
What I read mostly online is that patients appreciate the clear communication and my support throughout their journey.
And how do you build that trust and that support, that meaningful connection with your patients?
I try to show them as much as possible that I'm there for them. I listen, I'm available for them, and I know that they need me most with the outcome that is negative, so I make sure I'm there for them during that time and I can see them in a timely fashion if that were to happen.
You just mentioned all throughout this episode, of course, there are times when this journey, the outcomes aren't exactly what we're looking for. So what advice do you often share with patients who are feeling anxious or discouraged?
I would always start by validating their feeling. What they're going through is not easy. And then I try to show them how treatment can work and incorporate changes in their treatment plan when applicable to have a better outcome.
And what's a message of encouragement that you would share with those still hoping to build their family?
The road may be easy or may be difficult, and unfortunately sometimes very difficult, but what I can say is that having a child and growing one's family is worth it all. That's the message that most of my patients share with me after they have their child.
Absolutely. And is there any one lesson that your patients have taught you?
Patients taught me not to give up on them. There are many patients early in my career that I thought would never be able to conceive with their own eggs, and yet they did and have children. It takes one egg and one sperm to make a baby, not more, not less.
And outside of medicine, doctor, what brings you joy or balance?
Family time is my big thing right now. Taking my kids out, exploring the world with them is what brings me joy.
Are there any hobbies or interests or things you like to do for fun as well?
Yeah, but I'll say that love to do may not necessarily mean I'm doing it as I should be, but skiing and hiking are things that I am planning on finding more time to do in the near future.
Is there anything that might surprise people that they learn about you?
I hate needles, and I only take medication if absolutely necessary. And by medication, I mean Tylenol and Advil. View the amount of medication I prescribe for patients and the amount of injections that I prescribe. I believe they may be surprised to learn that about me.
That is so funny. I love it. And are there any three words that you would say best describe you?
I believe the three words would be responsible, transparent, and personable.
So now, doctor, I'm going to ask you a couple questions that might seem pretty random. They're not about your practice or your professional background. They're a little more about getting to know you outside of the office. So my first one here is, if something blank is on the menu, I'll always order it. What's your go-to dish?
I don't know what mood I would be in for my main one, but if a side of Brussels sprouts is on the menu, I'll always order it.
And what would you say, movie or TV show, which is your guilty pleasure? Something you could watch over and over and over again.
I mean, I can do it. I've done it. It's Friends.
Yeah, that's a classic. Yes. And you, like me, are an ice cream fan. If you could pick one ice cream flavor for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
Vanilla, hands down. That was an easy one.
Vanilla. Okay, that's a good one. Very keeping it simple. Love it. And how do you take your coffee, doctor?
Black. Although recently I've been getting into doing lattes at home, but I take my coffee black.
Gotcha. And on the flip side of our first question, if there is one food you had to live without, what would it be?
I would say blue cheese and goat cheese. I haven't developed the taste buds necessary to enjoy these two.
I actually agree with you on those. Thank you so much for playing along, doctor. As we wrap up here, we'll get a little bit back into your practice and the work that you do. Tell us, what does National Infertility Awareness Week mean to you?
National Infertility Awareness Week is very important on multiple levels. As a provider, it is an opportunity to raise awareness and help educate the public on infertility, its prevalence, and it helps to break the silence surrounding reproductive health issues. It pushes advocates to get better insurance coverage and improve access to care to our patients. And most importantly, for our patients, it empowers them and helps them, since during that week, there are concentrated efforts for patients to connect, share stories, and find a supportive community, helping to reduce feelings of isolation and shame.
Well, you just mentioned it in that last answer, but why is it so important to openly talk about infertility?
Talking openly about infertility helps educate patients, makes us understand it better, and also honors the emotional journeys of millions who experienced it, and creates a wave to push those in power to improve coverage and access to care.
And what are some additional words of encouragement that you would share with patients navigating infertility?
I want patients to know that we feel them, we hear them, and we are there for them. The infertility journey could be a roller coaster of emotions. We know when it starts, but we are not always in control on when they get the good news and end up being pregnant. But definitely, having a child is worth it all.
And how does this additional awareness and education help break the stigma often found around fertility challenges?
By bringing personal stories to the forefront, by openly educating the public and talking about reproductive health issues, we are able to dismantle the stigma and shame associated with the inability to conceive naturally. And most importantly, we reinforce the notion that infertility is a medical condition, not a personal failure or a failure of the couple.
Absolutely. And doctor, once patients start looking for a fertility clinic, what should they look for when choosing?
The track record of Fertility Centers of Illinois sets us apart. It is the largest clinic in the Midwest by far. And it is the longest standing clinic. The first IVF baby born in the Midwest came from our practice back in 1984. We were also one of the premier practices in the Midwest to do ICSI, or injecting eggs with sperm. We're the premier practice to freeze eggs. We helped create one of the largest egg banks in the United States. And all physicians at Fertility Centers of Illinois are double board certified in their specialty and in OBGYN and practice evidence-based medicine.
That was Dr. Ellie Hobeka. For more information, please visit fcionline.com/doctors. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it on your social channels and explore our entire podcast library for more topics that interest you. I'm Caitlin White, and this is Time to Talk Fertility, Beyond the Lab Coat. Thanks for listening.